new series for the next 5 weeks is Fearless. And today we're going to be covering Why Are You Afraid? Why are you afraid? And you know, as men, we like to think, I'm a man. I'm not afraid. And then, of course, when all the ladies and everybody goes their own way and you're all by yourself, all of a sudden, fear can creep into you just like it does everybody else. So it doesn't matter if you're a man or if you are a child, a lady or a little girl. It doesn't matter who you are. Fear can grip us. Fear of the unknown can grip you. Fear of this economy can grip you. Fear of sickness can grip you. Fear of losing a loved one can grip you. Fear of your car not starting in the morning to get you to work can grip you. Fear of the TV not turning on can grip you. And fear of your favorite TV station being canceled can kill you. But listen to me. What I want you to know is, as we're going to cover this, and we're going to talk about fear, why are you afraid? That is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. So if you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 and just be prepared there, we'll read it here in a moment. But Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 is where we're going to start. And as you're turning there, I just really want you to think about what causes fear. I mean, just start processing in your mind now. Okay, fear. What causes fear? What scares me? How do I deal with it normally? How can I deal with it? You know, it's funny, when my children were younger. Of course, they're still babies to me, but when they were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they would be afraid, I would say, my wife and I both, we go, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll take the Bible and we're going to put it under your pillow, okay? And so the Bible, we got a Bible that we, you know, was a smaller one, and we put it under their pillow, and man, they'd go right to sleep. Fear wasn't an issue anymore. And I think what really happened is they go, you know what? Man, I know God. I mean, you remember, the Bible says, listen, if we have faith like a child, and when a child sees God, and when a child sees Jesus, man, Jesus and God is the greatest thing ever, and He is, and should be in our adult lives as well. But for some reason, when we become adults, our mentality process changes. All of a sudden, we don't see God as this great big God that would never let anything happen to us. We see Satan as a great big devil that can conquer us. And it shouldn't be that way. We start flipping our thoughts and we start looking more at Satan than what we do God. We start looking more at the devil than we do Jesus. And next thing you know, we become powerless because fear cripples us. Well, I want everyone to stand as we read this scripture, if you'll stand with me. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to go read verses 23 through 27. It says, "Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep," he being Jesus. "Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, help us to have great faith this morning. Lord, help us to see Jesus for the true miracle person that he is, Lord. The one that wants to protect us and love us. And Lord, deliver us to the other side of the lake, Lord, without harm. Lord, help us to see that Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let's look at this and let's unfold this. As you read this, you know, and it's amazing because what is what brings on fear? Oh, we need to hand out our worksheets. So you have this, otherwise you're not going to be able to follow along. Well, you will, but you won't fill in any blanks. And I'll be wondering why nobody's writing, and then it'll be laying up here. Okay, so as we're going to cover through this and we're going to look at this, I want you to understand that there's one thing that brings about fear if you're a Christian. And it's one thing only. One thing only that allows fear to cripple you or debilitate you, and it's lack of faith. That's a strong statement, and you go, lack of faith? Yes, lack of faith. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to go through that process. You know, I posted on my Facebook the other night. We went to Barnes and Noble's, and I had to get a book. And so when I went to get the book, there was a section in there was a section right, and this is what it infuriated me. I'll just be honest with you. It absolutely infuriated me. Like, took my breath away, infuriated me. And I had to make sure that when I went and talked to the manager that I was approaching him with a godly attitude and a godly goal rather than the flesh. Because I'll just be honest with you. In the flesh, I mean, I'm not a little guy. I mean, I'm not a big guy, but I'm not a little guy. But if I ever let my flesh take over, I could do some damage. You know what I'm saying? And I'm told my wife, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. My girls don't need to see it. God doesn't need to witness it, and I don't need to hurt my testimony. But deep inside of me, when I got done with this manager, I wanted to hurt him. I'm just being honest with you. You guys have been there. Don't look at me like, oh, the pastor? Yeah, the pastor. I'm no different than you. Elijah, if you read in James, he prayed for it not to rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed for it to rain, and it did rain. And so, you know, if he prayed and it stopped, and then he prayed and it started. But you know what? He says that he was a man of like passions, just like we are. In other words, he struggled. We all struggle with the flesh. So we're standing there, and we're in the Christian section, okay? And so we're in the Christian section looking for a book. I needed to find a book, and as we're standing there looking at it and everything, I had walked away because we couldn't find it in that section. So I had walked away and went to get asked somebody where I could find it, only to find the Christian book that I needed on the opposite side of the store out of the Christian section. I don't know what that was about. But at any rate, my girls and Sherry come up to me and they go, Daddy, you ought to see, there is a section over here. And the section was titled, this, by the way, this is in Barnes and Noble's. The section is titled Gay and Lesbian. And listen, I'm not bashing anybody. If that's your lifestyle, then live it. It's between you and God. You face the wrath. Everybody knows what's up with that. But here's the thing. The section was about 5 feet high down. Now, who's on that level? Children. And some of the books were turned so that you can see the pictures. And some of the pictures were just flat out disgusting, vulgar, gross, you name it. And so when I seen this, I was in my mind, I'm going, this isn't right. This needs to be in a section to where at least I can say, girls, you can look at any book in the store, but don't go over there. That's all I'm thinking. I mean, I'm not thinking Barnes and Noble's, remove this from your store. I mean, that's not entering my mind, although I would like to see that happen. But that's not my thought. And so I went to the manager, and I said, look, man, your gay and lesbian section, it's eye level to children. And he goes, look, I already know what you're going to say. And we've had other complaints about it, but I'm just going to tell you right now, we're not changing our store policy and we're not moving them. And I said, all I'm saying is that they are in eye level of children. The children are going to walk by, and you guys purposely put them there. You can move them higher or move them to a corner. I'm not saying put them in a special section that nobody can enter. What I'm saying is put them where my children are not exposed to them. And he goes, it's not going to happen. Well, now I'm getting borderline flesh. You know, I'm getting, I mean, like I'm riding that rail, you know. And so we discussed it, and he says, well, I have kids. And I go, well, would you let them over there? Absolutely not. So you don't bring them in the store? At any rate, I posted this incident on my Facebook. And needless to say, it got a lot of attention. It was a very godly post. There was nothing ungodly about it. But at the end of it, of course, who knows if it's the end. When I get home, we'll find out if it's really the end. But the last post that I read this morning on it said, and everybody was really cordial and godly about the whole subject, and I was really quite impressed. Actually, I told my wife, I said, man, I am so proud of the way Christians have went in and answered these, you know, answered these remarks. It was just, I was proud of the whole thing because every Christian remained Christian on it. And you know what? It was love the people, hate the sin. That's what it should be. Except for one last one, and the response was, well, I don't agree with your stand. And so on and so forth. And I'm going to respond, it really doesn't matter whether you like my stand or not. It is what God says that matters. I'm just telling you what God says. And some of you, as we go through this, and I say, you know, fear is nothing but a lack of faith for a Christian. That's all it is. And some of you in your hearts are going to go, no, you're wrong. I have faith. And I'm going to tell you, just like I'm going to remark on my Facebook, and as I said the whole story to bring it to this point, it really doesn't matter what you say. It matters what God says. And God says, here in verse 25, if you just look in verse 25, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'll back up. In verse 25, then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And then 26, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? See, Jesus said that fear is the result of little faith. Just so you know, it's not me. I don't want you, because I see, when I first said it, I seen some faces that went, yeah, I ain't afraid of nothing. You're crazy, Pastor. And I just want you to know, it really wasn't my words, it was Jesus. And so I'll just pass that along to him, that you said he was crazy. Alright, he already knew you said it. I don't have to pass it along. Okay, let's get into this message. Okay, number one, the great seismos. I want you to see, life is stormy. And so as we look at this, and it says he got into a boat with his disciples, and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest, waves, great winds all of a sudden came up, so much so that it was crashing over the boat. Now can you imagine? Can you imagine you're in the boat, and man, you're just whistling Dixie, and you're going across the water. And of course, in that day, they didn't have a motor where they could just put it in drive. They all had to grab an oar and row. And I know for some of you say, well, I'll never get in a boat if I got to row it. But they didn't have a choice. And so they're rowing it, and they're rowing it. And then all of a sudden, I mean, literally all of a sudden, you go, how does this storm happen all of a sudden? Because I don't know about you, but I can look up, and I can see the storm coming from a long way off, can't you? I mean, now sometimes the severity of it surprises us, but we can see the storm coming. Well, here's the thing. What you have to understand is they're on the Sea of Galilee. They're down there on the water, and it's kind of in the valley, if you will. And right up, the mountains go up. And so what happens is there's a V in the mountains, if you will. And so what happens is that the winds all of a sudden will shift, and they come through that and down the valley, and literally within a moment's notice, you will have an incredible storm rising up. I mean, it literally, they say that it happens in a moment's notice. It'll come through that valley, or through the V of the mountains. It'll come through there and down. And boy, when it comes down, they say that wind just stirs the water up like unbelievable. And you literally have, or could have, 30 seconds to a minute notice of the storm. Now, for us, sometimes that might be inconceivable, but you got to understand the layout of the land, and that's what they say happens. So I can see that when it says suddenly, and if you don't understand how it is and how the land's laid out, you won't understand this suddenly. Literally, he says suddenly, so he literally means in a moment's notice. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that wind kicked up, and when that wind kicked up, it come down through the valley, and it hit that water, and when it hit that water, it stirred the waves so high that the boat was taking on water. Now, you have to understand, there are 12 men and Jesus. And so when you're talking to disciples, you're not talking a little rowboat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, these weren't babies that you put them in a car seat side by side and you put four on a seat and row them across the water. These are full-grown men. So the boat wasn't a little rowboat like you would think. This boat had some depth to it. It had some length to it. And each man would sit in his position, and there would be an oar coming out, and there could be four, six, or eight oars on this size boat that they would be on, and then they would row it across. So it was a good sized boat, because you figure they got to have some room to, you know, and do you get the grunt and the row in? You know what I'm talking about? This boat's good size, and it's taking on water. So when you see this, and he says, hey, listen, it was a seismos, which is, it means literally a quake, a trembling eruption of the sea and the sky. I mean, it was an eruption. It was like, wow. We were in, my wife and I, when we first got married, we went on our honeymoon. Actually, we waited. When we got married, we went on our honeymoon, and we were at Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia. And it was a beautiful day. It was probably about 75, about 80 degrees outside. And sun was shining. Just a perfect, gorgeous, beautiful day. And all of a sudden, we're driving, and it started hailing. I mean, just that quick. We're driving, and all of a sudden, we hear this boom, boom, just bashing on our car. And so I swerved off and parked underneath of this little awning or whatever, and we were watching, and it happened for about 3-4 minutes, and then just that quick again it quit. The sun came out and it was beautiful again. But in the process, there were some places that it was 6-7 inches, 8 inches of hail that had come down and just piled up, and it happened so quick. It was amazing. So when we're looking at this, guys, I want you to know it can happen quick, and it can do a lot of damage, and that hail did a lot of damage. And so this right here, Matthew's using the word seismos, which means it was a quake, a trembling, an eruption of the sea. This wasn't no little storm. This was one that would even the fishermen, you got to remember, a lot of these guys were fishermen. And they're used to being out on the sea, and they're trembling. They're quaking like little wimps. And they're so afraid that they go to Jesus. I want you to see that also that Matthew used the word seismos two other times. And make a note of this. We don't have time to go to it, but I want you to make a note of it. But he used it in chapter 27, verses 51 through 54. Which was at Jesus' death at Calvary. He used the word seismos. And then the third time that he used it was in chapter 28, verse 2, when Jesus arose from the dead. There was a great erupting during those times. It's the only three times that he used it. And so he's comparing this great eruption of the sea, this great storm. He's literally comparing it to the death at Calvary, and when Jesus arose from the dead. He's comparing it to when the earth shook then. That's pretty large if you think about that. You think about two of the greatest events that ever happened, which was the death at Calvary and then Jesus' resurrection, two of the greatest events that ever occurred in history, and he puts this storm right there with it. Guys, listen, I want you to get a hold. I want you to get a hold of the size of this storm, because if you can't grab a hold of the size of this storm and what these men were going and how they were going through and how they were feeling and the fear that probably gripped them, you won't appreciate what you're about to learn about Jesus. I really want you to get a hold of this storm that's happening. And so then here, number two, Jesus remains unstirred in the storm. Jesus remains unstirred in the storm. Now I want you to see, the absence of the storm doesn't set us apart as Christians. And I know that sometimes, you know, you guys just, life is just like going on a Caribbean cruise, isn't it? It's always fun and glorious and sunshining and everything's good, right? I mean, being a Christian, none of us have any problems, do we? Man, as a Christian, who is whistling Dixie every day, man? I mean, we don't have no issues. We'd like to think that, wouldn't we? We'd like to tell somebody, but listen, when people get saved, sometimes they believe, okay, now I'm a Christian, I'll never have another worry in the world. Dude, that's your first worry. You have been deceived, okay? And you need to think about this. Because let me tell you something. As a Christian, man, listen, were these disciples Christians? Absolutely. Christian means Christ follower, by the way. It's not a bad word, it's a good word. It's an action word. It means you're following Christ. So if you're a Christian, that means you're a Christ follower. If you're not following Christ, then you're not a Christian. It's pretty simple, cut and dry. But I want you to see here that the absence of the storm doesn't set us apart. It doesn't excuse us from struggles. Listen, we're going to get wet with Jesus. Yeah, was Jesus on the boat? Yes. Were the waves coming in the boat? Yes. Did Jesus get wet? I can assure you, he was on the boat. They didn't have the big covered top where they could go inside and turn the heat on and turn the wipers on while they steer down the lake. They didn't have that. They had to sit in the rain. They had to sit in the waves crashing over and the boats filling up with water. Can you imagine this boat filling up with water and they got their buckets and they're trying to get the water out and they're going, man, what are we doing? Now here's what you got to get the picture here. This is a frantic moment. And they're bailing the water out. Has anybody ever had a boat where you feel like you couldn't get the water bailed out fast enough? You felt like your life was sinking? Think about these guys, man. This is what they're going through. This is a fear that's literally coming through all the way to the bone. And they're taking it, they're bucketing this water out. And as they're getting this water out, because they're overcome with the water, they're overcome with the waves, they're overcome with the storm and the rain. And I imagine there was some lightning going on. I imagine this was a storm in their life. And they're bailing water out, and you guys are about to relate this too. They're bailing water out of this thing, and they're like, okay guys, keep it going, it's filling up, we're going to sink, we can't sink. Man, I've never been so afraid in my life. And they glance up, and there's Jesus laying down sleeping. Okay guys, we can't stop getting this water out, but I'm telling you, I don't appreciate him sleeping over there. He could be over here helping us. And then somebody goes, I'm going to go wake him up and tell him I'd appreciate his help. Right? Isn't this what happens? Come on, guys. And in our life, sometimes we're in a storm, and sometimes we can't bail the water out fast enough, and sometimes we feel like we're about to gulp our last breath of air because the water is right here. Our chin is underwater, and we think, man, I'm going to drown. I can't take it anymore. I'm about to go under. Jesus, help me. Ever been there? That's where they're at. That's what's going on in this boat. They're thinking, my life is over. I'm going to drown in this lake and in this storm, and it's ugly and it's nasty and this isn't good. And they yell out for Jesus to help them. But I want you to see that just because you're a Christian does not stop you from going through the storm. As a matter of fact, in John 16:33, and I'm not sure if I put that on your... I did put it on there? Okay. I thought I did, but I wasn't sure. In John 16:33, it says, in the world you will. Listen, you will. Not might, not maybe, or could possibly happen, or this... You know what? There's always that slight chance. No, no, no. John 16:33 says, in the world you will have tribulation, troubles, trials, persecutions. You will have struggles. I've had people come up to me and go, and I tell them, look, what you're doing is wrong, it's sinful, it's ungodly, and you need to stop. And he goes, well, listen, if God loved me and Jesus loved me, why doesn't He take it away? Because here's the process, guys, and I'm kind of off my nose, but it's okay. Here's the process. God gave us a brain. Now, I know for some it doesn't function real well, but nonetheless, you got one. And He gave us a thing called free will. That works both ways. We can stand right here in the middle. And we can step over here and choose all the ungodliness we want. Or we can step over here and say, God, I'm with You and I'm Yours. And God, I'm just going to hold on to You, and I know this is going to be a ride, but I'm going to hold on tight. And so many people step over here and then get mad at God because their life is junk. I haven't been blessed enough. I don't have enough. I got this issue and I got that issue. Well, let me tell you this. We all have issues. If I had my way and I could do anything I want, the first thing I would do is give myself some hair. Winter's coming. I need to keep the heat. You understand what I'm saying? If I had, listen, we have issues. We have issues. Listen, how about this? If I had another thing that I would do, is I would get rid of these handles that we have here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. They call them love handles. I don't know. I don't love anything about them. I'm just going to tell you. I would change some things about me. When I was little, and I'm about to share some personal stories here. It's called being transparent. I really want you to get this. Obviously, you know I love you if I'm going to share some of this stuff. But when I was young, I had buck teeth. I sucked my thumb when I was a little kid. And I'll blame my dad and my mom for that because they're both dead and they can't come back and yell at me. So I'll just blame it. It's their fault. You know, they divorced when I was 4, and so I couldn't handle the stress and my release was sucking my thumb. That's a good excuse, right? I'm not responsible for my actions. And so even one time I cut it, almost cut it off, and they had to stitch it up, and they wrapped it up, but it was my favorite thumb, and so I didn't care if it was wrapped or not. I was going to suck my thumb. So now I went from a perfect size thumb to this huge gauze wrapping that I was still going to suck my thumb. You know, I was choosing this, obviously. And I had buck teeth because the result of sucking your thumb is you push on the roof of your mouth, and as you push on the roof of your mouth, it's so long that eventually your teeth start growing outward, and it wasn't long before I became a teenager with buck teeth. And when I say they were buck, let me just say this. They were buck. You know what I'm saying? But I was still outgoing. It didn't affect me a whole lot. And I went, and I remember I met this girl in school. And man, she was a sweetie. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, my heart just went like that for her. And so she was a year older than me. She was in a grade higher than me. And I asked my stepsister, half-sister, whatever she is. Anyway, I asked her, I said, hey, look, go tell her that I like her. I'm 14 at the time. tell her I like her. And you know what? Like, if she'd like to go skating or something, because, you know, you go to skate rink at 14, you know, of course, I did a lot of things at 14 I should never have done, but I'm like, hey, go tell her I like her. And so my sister did this, and then she comes back, and I go, well, what'd she say? You know, you guys know. I said, come on. Oh, she was too busy. I'm like, I seen you talking to her. Do you mean she's dead? What'd she say? And trying to protect me, of course. And finally she said, well, she couldn't go out with you. And I went, why? Because she couldn't. Why? Because your teeth look like they could eat her. Now, at 14 years old, you can't believe I shared that, huh? Yeah, my wife, she knew that story, but she can't. She's like, I can't believe he really shared that. Listen, I'm confident in who I am today. Let me tell you, bald buck teeth, I don't care. I'm there. And so, all of a sudden, for me, it was like a dagger, whoosh, right into my heart. And my confidence went from, yeah, I'm the man, to, And I just want to say this. We all have issues. We all have shortcomings. We all have things that we deal with in life. We all have fear. We're going to have tribulation. It's not going to go away. I just want you to know that. And I just want you to know that, like, I'm there and I can appreciate that. I can appreciate the fact that I have shortfalls and I have things that I have to overcome. I can appreciate that. That should make us want to hold on to God all the more tighter. It should make us depend on Him all the more, because it should remind you of not, oh, my shortcoming and I'm less of a person, but it should remind you that I'm not perfect and I need Jesus, the one who is perfect. That's what it should remind us of. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have things that just rip our heart out, that break our heart, the things that just set us down and take our breath away. We're going to have it. You cannot escape it. Listen, just because you're a Christian, you live in the same world as everybody else. Therefore, the laws of nature apply to you just like they do everybody else. But here's the difference. The difference for Christians is whom we discover in the storm. See, when the storm is raging and everything's out of hand and the fear is off the chart and they don't know what to do with themselves, they do one thing, the only thing that they know how to do, is they yell out to Jesus, verse 25. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us! Listen, this wasn't like, yo, Jesus, can you give me a little hand here? I'm struggling. I think we're going to sink. I just thought I'd let you know that. You know, this boat's going down, you know, all the water's filling up. And so Jesus, you know, if you think you could just help us out of this predicament, I'd sure appreciate it. Now, I'm not going to promise you that, well, yeah, I will, Lord. You get me to the other side, I'll follow you everywhere. I promise you, I'll do that. You just get me out of this situation. That's not what they did. Just like when Peter was walking on water and he started to sink, he didn't go, Jesus, I got a situation here. This isn't good, and I'm just wondering. No, what did he say? Save me! Lord, save me! And here they go, Lord, they call Him by His title, they call Him by who He is, they understand, Lord, save us, we are perishing. We don't have time for small talk, we don't have time for little things, we know Your ability, we know who You are, we know what You're about, we know that You can snap a finger, you can just breathe it into the air, you can speak it, you can think it. Lord, we know who You are, and so save us, because if You don't, we're going to die. That's what they did. Lord, save us! Save us, Lord! Lord, save us! Can you imagine what they're doing? Listen, this wasn't no little, yo, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this storm happening. No. It was, Lord, save us. And guys, we get into situations where the only thing we can do is scream out, Lord, save us. Because listen, we can't even take care of a common cold. We got families out today that are eat up with this cold that's going around, this virus, this flu virus going on. So what we do, the difference for a Christian versus someone that doesn't know Jesus, is whom we discover in the storm. And he wakes up. And he says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now, to you and me, we might be thinking, what do you mean, no faith? I just screamed out to you to save us. I think that's a lot of faith because I believe you can do it. And he says, if you really believed, you wouldn't have freaked out to begin with. If you really believed, you would have known that everything was okay. You see what I'm saying? And listen, he said, that's what he's talking about when you say, he says, oh, you of little faith. The problem is, and I'm going to go way out on a limb here. And I'm going to venture to say that 80% in this room, I don't know, because we got some solid Christians in here. Praise God for that. I'm going to say that 90% of Christians today in the world don't read their Bible. Don't pray. But they know God, and they're going to cry out to Him, just like these guys do. We're going to wait until the storm hits so bad that we lose. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Cry out to God. What else is there to do? Okay, we'll do that. And I think that instead of using Jesus as our life preserver, that He needs to be our boat. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just calling on Him when we're taking in the water and we're slapping the water and trying not to drown and go under, that we just need to kind of settle in the seat on with Him on the boat. His boat. And just know, this is His boat. He's not going to let it sink. This is His boat. He cherishes it. This is His boat. It's not going to capsize. This is His boat. He built it. He'll sustain it. Why? Because it's floating in His water, moved by His wind. It's all His. And so I'm just going to ride this out with Jesus because it's His and He's got full control. And I think if we did that, we would make a whole lot less foolish decisions than what we do. I think if we do that, we would become content with our life. I've gotten calls, I know this is recorded and I know a lot of people listen to this actually online. But I got a phone call and telling me basically their life has fallen apart. And then they forward the messages sent by their spouse. And the messages sent by their spouse was horrendous. Ugly. 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 The language coming from the female was as bad as any sailor you could ever hear. The whole everything. I looked at it and it just my whole body just like, well, are you serious? But here's the problem. And I've told my brother this as well, so if he's listening to this, it's okay. Jesus is your life preserver. And as long as you just use Him as a life preserver, you're going to have some pretty scary moments. Yeah, you'll be drug in and put on a ship and they'll pump your stomach and get all the water out and you'll start breathing again. And then life's fine because you're okay now. And then you jump off again And then we throw you another life preserver, bring you back in, pump your stomach, you're breathing in, life's okay. And then you wonder, why all the problems? Why all the headaches? Because Jesus is your lifesaver. He's your life preserver. He's not your ship. He's not your sustainer. And what happens when we take that mentality, we lose faith because we're not growing in God, so therefore we're separating ourselves from God. And when we separate ourselves from God, then we have to deal with all the things that come from that. Fear, anxiety, worry. Any of this ring a bell for you? Any of this debilitating you? Any of this making it so difficult for you to take steps that you need to take to be successful and be the person that God has called you to be in your life? He says, listen, do you want to make a difference? Stop. Don't let me just be your life preserver. Let me be your ship. Let me be the one that carries you. Let me be the one that sustains you every day, morning to night. Let me be that one. And the fear and the worry, all that will go away. I've got these books called Jesus Freaks, put out by DC Talk. Anybody ever hear of them? Some of you have. Good. And what it is modern day martyrs. And there was a story in there, and I believe it was over in China or Korea or somewhere over there, that the two girls, this pastor went over there, and he leads these two girls to the Lord. But then they get caught because, you know, it's underground church or whatever, so it may have been China, I'm not really sure where. And so he leads these two young ladies to the Lord. While they're caught by the government, and now they're going to be executed. But here's the kicker. In order for the pastor to save his life, because he denounced Christ, the pastor denounced Christ. In order for him, because of fear just settled into his bones. Not only did he give it a place to have lunch, but he gave it a place to sleep. And fear just overwhelmed him. And so they said that he denounced Christ, and he said, okay, if you really denounce Christ, you're going to have to prove it, and this is how I want you to prove it. And they took the two young ladies that he shared Jesus with, and they lined them up. And firing, you know what I'm saying, and that firing squad, or that firing range thing, they lined them up side by side. And they handed the pastor the gun. And they said, if you truly have denounced Christ, you'll go up there and you'll kill both of them girls. They were young, like 12 and 14 years old. And the pastor took the gun. And he walked up to them girls. And before he could do anything, them girls said, Pastor, I just want you to know, you showed us Jesus. And because of that, we won't hold this against you. We forgive you for what you're about to do. And it said that he broke down and he started crying, but nonetheless, he pulled the trigger on both girls. In the head. And you say, what would make somebody do that? Fear. Fear. What would cause it to go that far? No relationship with Jesus. No relationship. And so, all of a sudden now, he's living. But I wouldn't want to live with that. And so now, what do we live with? And guys, I just want to say this. We're going to go through the trials, the struggles, the problems. We're going to be overwhelmed sometimes. But if you're not right with God, you're going to make some hard, foolish decisions. That's going to be tough to live with. Number three, fear can be healthy. Listen, fear can keep us from danger, but an inappropriate response to fear is sinful. So we can have fear, but it has to be healthy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. Fear will always knock on your door, just don't let it in. Number four, the Father is capable of calming our storms. Jesus handled the great quaking with great calming. Look here in verse 26. But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. A great calm. I want you to know, here, look here in 27. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The only one that's going to calm your storms, Jesus. If you go anywhere else, or you look anywhere else, you're going to need a life preserver. I mean, it is what it is. But if you hold on to Jesus and you ride the storm out, sometimes it's so unbearable, you think you're going to die. You think, "I can't hold on any longer. I can't go through this any longer." It's because of one reason: lack of faith. And so here's what I challenge you to do. If you ever get to that point, you go, "I can't bear this anymore," there's only one solution: reading God's Word and prayer. That's it. That's the only solution. The problem is, we're too lazy, we're not dedicated, or we don't love Jesus enough. And you go, "That's harsh." No, that's reality. "Well, I love Jesus, that's enough." No, it's not. If you don't build a relationship with Him, you won't have a relationship with Him. It's salvation and that's it. Or is it really salvation if you don't love Jesus enough to spend time with Him? And it only benefits you. Isn't that amazing? Like, we are the beneficiary of every act we do for Jesus. We're the beneficiary. And yet, we get so selfish that we don't do anything for Jesus. "Well, if it's not the payment that I want, the payment I think we should receive, I'm not doing it." And therefore, we pay the price, the storms that come in our life. Guys, I just want you to build your relationship and understand we are not exempt. We are not exempt from the trials and tribulations of this world. But we do have someone that can carry us through it if your relationship is right. If it's not right, you're going to keep struggling. It's that simple. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Now listen, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and you meant it with everything you are, the Bible says you're saved. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, He rose on the third day, and He's at the right hand of the Father, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, the Bible says you are saved. You can't lose that. You can never lose it. It can never be taken away. Salvation is a lifetime, eternal gift. It can never be removed. You cannot remove yourself. And so if you have received Christ as your Savior, you don't need to do it over and over. Here's what you need to do. You need to take the time to get to know your Savior. Prayer and reading the Bible. If you're here today and you go, "Man, I feel like I'm going to die with the problems I have in my life." Well, I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And you're 100% sure of that. If you're not 100% sure, then I would say get sure. I'd rather be saved twice than lost once. And so if you don't know if Jesus is your Savior and you want to, it's real simple. You pray this prayer, but it's got to be from your heart and you got to mean it. The words don't save you. It's your belief that does. Quietly in your heart, you pray this prayer. "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I have problems. I know that the storms that come into my life I can't fix. I know that I am not perfect, but I believe You are. And I believe that You can take away my sins. I believe You can give me a heaven and home. I believe that You died for my sins. And so right now, Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, save my soul." Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to call you out. I will not embarrass you.